Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Satkarta Shopping Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Natasha Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to you all to the Satkarta Shopping Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. On behalf of Arihant Capital Limited, I would like to thank the management of Satkarta Shopping Limited for giving us this opportunity to host this call. Today, we have the management side. Ayush, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Advisors, I welcome you to the conference call of Satkarta Shopping Limited. On the management side, we have Mr. Manpreet Singh Chadha, Promoter and Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Pranav Singh Chadha, Promoter and Director. We have Ms. Smriti Kaur with us, Promoter and Director. We remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be, therefore, viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Manpreet Singh Chadha for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Marlin, and thank you, Arihant. A very good afternoon to everyone. I would add one thing along with the three promoters. On this call, I have our Managing Director, Mr. Ved Prakash, and our CFO, Mr. Devender. Good afternoon, everyone, and it's an absolute honor to welcome all of you to the very first earnings call of Satkarta Shopping Limited. This moment is particularly special for all of us at Satkarta as a company. As after our IPO, this is our first call which we are presenting. What began as a simple vision to make high-quality Ayurveda accessible across India has evolved into a data-driven wellness platform that sits at the intersection of tradition, technology, and scale. From day one, our mission has been clear: to deliver science-backed, personalized Ayurvedic solutions with an unwavering commitment to quality. This integrity has earned us approvals from leading institutions such as the Department of AYUSH, and we have been into formulations through the National Research and Development Corporation and the Central Council for Research in Ayurvedic Sciences. These are not just compliance badges. They reflect our deep trust. Since our IPO earlier this year, we have made thoughtful strategic investments to build long-term value. A portion of the funds has been allocated towards acquisition, both domestic and international, that can expand our product portfolio and give us higher reach. We have invested significantly in television and digital marketing to drive awareness and customer acquisition. A substantial portion is also towards technology and infrastructure, enabling a smarter, more responsive business model. The balance was used for general corporate purpose and IPO-related costs. At the heart of our business is an asset-light, capital-efficient model. We have consciously chosen to stay manufacturing-light, allowing us to focus our resources on product innovation, branding, and consumer experience while leveraging third-party partners for production. This gives us speed, flexibility, risk mitigation, and at the same time, scalability without unnecessary capital drag. We also operate with a negative working capital cycle. This structure allows us to fund growth internally with minimal stress on the balance sheet. Our philosophy in Satkarta is built around three core tenets: safety of the business, sustainable scaling, not at the cost of profitability, balanced data-driven growth, because scaling without logic leads to instability. With a database of over 30 million consumers, we understand what Bharat wants, not just what it needs. This data enables targeted product launches, personalized communication, and stronger customer retention. We are supported by a team of over 800 plus multilingual customer advisors, engaging directly with consumers across Bharat in Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, Kannad, and more. Today, our reach extends more than 11,600 pin codes across Bharat, and we are on track to scale this over to 19,000 in the next 12 to 18 months. Of course, financial year 25 also brought unforeseen challenges. During the recent Indo-Pak border tensions, our delivery operations were briefly disrupted, with multiple courier partners halting services in key northern states. Additionally, we faced a fire incident at one of our regional centers, which impacted operations temporarily. Thankfully, there were no casualties and operations resumed quickly. These events tested our operational resilience, and we responded swiftly and responsibly. This is just the beginning. We are not here for monetary scale. We are building a company with a strong foundation, sound economics, and a clear vision. One where the profits follow cash flow and purpose follows profit. I would also like to mention the numbers which we came up with our balance sheet day before yesterday in our board meeting, and the numbers were uploaded on the requisite sites. This year, we did a revenue of 162.92 crores, which was a year-on-year 28% growth, and a PAT of 9.82 CR, which translates to 55.63% growth over the last year. So this is what I wanted to convey at the start of the year. Then to open a floor for questions, and then most of the things can be clarified on the question and answer.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from Lana of Amit from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you. Sir, our aspiration is to reach 500 crore top line in 3 years. What are the top 2-3 things that need to fall in place to achieve this goal?
Top 2-3 things to solve. I would say more than solving the things, we need to improve in all the things which we have been doing right till now. As a company, we have been committed to majorly 3 product segments, which have SKUs around 20 under that. The market size of that itself is huge. We still are committed to those 3 major diseases or the lifestyle. And our first aim is to touch 250 within these, and then simultaneously grow other SKUs and markets, penetrate the new markets, so that from 250 to 500 becomes another milestone. What we feel is the first 250 would be in the reach. And yes, till the time we reach 250, we would be developing our other segments, so that from 250 to 500 also becomes a smooth scale.
Yes, so what I meant was that, what are the growth drivers? So suppose for 250, we need to add roughly about 90, 100 crores or so. So to add 100 crore, what are the growth drivers? I mean, how is the customer acquisition going to be? Or some color on that will be useful.
The growth drivers are to basically, with that database, turning that database to get another 10% of the growth from our current volume is a clear. So when we say that another 90 growth, or I would say it like from 160 to 250, as around 80 growth. So the growth driver is 10% to 20% is from our current customers, and the further is acquisition of more customers, and lastly, penetrating into the regions where we are still not there. In overall India, we are there in Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, UP, Bihar, Rajasthan, and when I say the other states, I would say Gujarat, Maharashtra, Northeast, Jammu and Kashmir, all other states would add up to the revenue.
Right. So, and typically when we enter a state or when we want to scale up, a particular state, what is the cost of acquisition, like CAC, for the customer at customer level? So I'm looking for CAC and LTV because, yeah. So I think on the presentation there was some mention of lifetime value of the customer.
More than cost of acquisition, when we enter a new state, we run with a strategy of localizing our branding to that state language. So the collaterals and the advertisements and the inventory which has to be developed is one of the major challenges. But once you enter that state with all these arms and ammunitions, then what we have felt is the cost of acquisition does not vary much all across India when we go state specific. Rather, when we go state specific, we are able to get a better leverage on the cost acquisition.
Right. And what are the channels for acquiring a customer there?
Primarily, we have three channels. We are split into television and online, and online is divided into the Google and Meta.
Great, sir. And if you could mention cost of acquisition, CAC, do you have a number that you can quote?
More than cost of acquisition, I would say, which is quite apparent, is a range of 40% to 42% of our revenue goes into advertisement. And advertisement is our main armor of acquisition.
Okay, great. Thanks. And sir, my last question is on the negative working capital. So how does that work? Because a lot of players who go B2C, they burn a lot of money. And if you have negative working capital, that is that is great. So how does that work really?
Most of the brands on B2C burn definitely because of the high acquisition cost. We acquire at a 40% is our acquisition cost for the customer, and the negative working capital is we have taken good payment cycles from our suppliers, from our manufacturers, and on the other hand, when we sell the product, we get the payment either upfront or maximum within 4 to 5 days.
Right, sir. Thanks. That's it from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to three questions per participant. Next question is from line of Shruti Malpani from Arth AIF. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Manjeet ji.
Hi, Shruti. Hello.
Yeah. So I just had a few questions. So I wanted to understand the increase of 27% in other income. So what has contributed to that?
All your wishes and the way you oversubscribed, I won't say oversubscribed our IPO, but the IPO funds for a good time were in fixed deposit, and that's the interest income of the other income.
Okay. And so as I can see, like, our employee count has definitely increased, right? We have also gotten more people for call executives and stuff. So are they on our payroll, or how does that work?
Yes, they are on our payroll.
But the employee benefit expenses, they've fallen down from FY24. If our employees have increased, so I just wanted to understand about that.
The employees have increased,
But we have come up with a model. The number of employees have increased, but we have come up with a model so that the employee can actually devote less number of hours into the company so that its payout is not proportionate to what the payout was earlier. So we are working it in a different way. Instead of stretching the employee and going into an overtime model, we are coming into a, say, so that he is able to take leave, the work and home balance, so that my cost gets reduced at Satkatar and he gets ample time with his family.
Okay. Would you be in a position to explain it further? Because
I would explain it in a way. If a cost to company per employee is 20,000 or 25,000.
Okay.
So if I have number of employees, say 1,000. But on the other hand, if I have 1,400 employees, the number of employees goes up. But then that the leaves which he is taking, so the payout actually goes to him far less than what is his CTC.
Okay, so they are working lesser days.
Yes.
Okay.
And this facility, I'm especially giving to all those who have worked with us for at least 2 years.
Okay. Okay, so this has been introduced in H2, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Also, our other expenses that have increased by, you know, roughly 42%. So, is it completely marketing spend or there is something else, another expenses also?
No, when you say 42% increase.
Yeah.
Then 42% increase, if you compare it to revenue to the expense, that would be around 4% increase. This is, we're talking about absolute number.
Yes, I'm talking about absolute numbers.
So, absolute number would not be the right benchmark for seeing the increase. The right benchmark would be the how it translates to the revenue. So, it has increased by 5% and it is majorly around 3% is the increase in the advertisement cost from last year to this year. And we are working on that as to how that can be reduced further.
So, but those advertisement expenses must be coming out of our this thing, IPO proceeds, right?
No. IPO proceeds is basically those advertisement expenses of IPO. And IPO, we came out on 15th of January. On 17th of January, we got listed.
Correct.
So, IPO proceeds and moreover, the IPO proceeds are not all to be used for our regular working capital cycle where our advertisement expenses are being used.
Okay. So those are yet to be reflected. Like I saw that in the monitoring report, there are few agencies you've got, you know, contracts from marketing agencies and stuff. So they will reflect in H1 of FY26.
They would reflect and also they would not actually translate to the advertisement expenses because most of that is also on the branding where we have taken like a brand ambassador. So that actually if I'm taking a brand ambassador and taking an advertisement and getting it run for a good 3 years. So actually that brand ambassador expense would eventually translate and get capitalized.
Okay. So we have classified a brand ambassador yet?
Yes, we have taken a brand ambassador in South and we are very soon taking another in North. I would not be able to disclose it, the one which we are taking in North, but you all would be having that news in the next 15 days.
Okay, great, noted. I just have one more question, then I'll join back the queue. So PP&E, they have increased again, but the depreciation has fallen. So I wanted to understand a little bit about that.
Which has increased? Well, you said depreciation has fallen, but what has increased?
PP&E. In our balance sheet, our assets? Fixed assets, as you can see.
Maybe I will not be able to answer this right now upfront, but one of the ways of this is there was a asset say if it if an asset which is for a full year, which was diluted in the early part of the year, and an asset which has been taken later in the year, so the depreciation would certainly fall and the asset would increase, asset base would increase.
Okay. And so from a performance marketing spend, we'll see the top line increasing in H1. There's no impact of those in FY25 or there were?
Come again on this?
So the performance marketing spends that we will be doing, right? For the from the IT proceeds. So we can see the increase in top line in H1 of this year or,
yes,
you know, part of
definitely.
It.
No way.
Has already been reflected.
Definitely in H1. Look, there are, we are not into, we are a company which are very conscious on the advertisement, in the sense that our advertisement should give us the return on investment. We consider advertisement as an investment and not as a putting in money and then looking for it. But yes, that growth in revenue, the advertisement which we do today, the growth you will see in H1 itself, but you will see far more growth in H2 and further years because of that advertisement. But it's not that that advertisement will not translate to revenue in the first half itself also. It will.
Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt you, Shruti. I'll request to come back for a follow-up question.
Sure.
Thank you. A kind request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. Next question is from Naino Shantanu Basu from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to ask a few questions. So the first question that I have is with regard to your repeat customers. So I see on your presentation that your repeat customer percentage is only 25%. So I think this is a low figure. So A, how do you explain this low figure given the fact that you have been in business for quite a number of years? And B, how do you propose to actually improve this so that your marketing costs, which are now at 42% of revenue, would actually come down and enhance your profit? So that's one core question. The second core question that I have is, you are in the niche Ayurveda space. And in this space, my understanding is quality of root, herb, etc. matters. So since all your manufacturing operations are outsourced, how do you ensure that quality of the raw materials are maintained? What steps do you take? And also, how do you ensure the quality of the final product, the finished pills or tablets, are also maintained? So wanted your thoughts on these two points. Thank you.
Sure, Jean. No. About the first question about the repeat ratio, we have been increasing this quarter on quarter. We were at around 22% at the beginning of the quarter before that. We have been able to achieve 25%. This we are doing through a kind of a personalized journeys. We run health goal-based marketing flows, especially for our sexual wellness and addiction recovery and diabetes lifestyles. Also, proactive call re-engagement, the wellness call every 30 to 60 days. What happened is, as we were growing, we were not able to cater to all these things, which we have now inculcated into the company and have made it a kind of a regular process, which we are hopeful that on quarter-on-quarter basis, this number would go up. On your other question, on the quality, the contract manufacturing which we do is a kind of a unique model in which we have an end-to-end agreement with our manufacturers that their facility, they would be producing for us, and we have full right and we exercise that right most of the times and regularly by doing audits for their facilities from where they are procuring and how the process of manufacturing is being conducted. On, definitely not on all. Once we do all these, on the other hand, most of our batches, a sample batch is always sent for a kind of a quality check, that is post-production. So we have checks both pre-production and post-production.
Okay, so that's helpful. Now, you stated that, just wanted to clarify, are these manufacturing facilities manufacturing only for Satkarta? Or are they manufacturing for other
Out of six, two are only manufacturing for Satkarta. Four, they have taken our requisite approvals that they can manufacture for others also. But we have first right, as and if we feel that something is being infringed regarding our product, we have right to stop them from doing that manufacturing.
Okay, fine. So, and these audits are carried out by your team, right?
Yes.
And just wanted to understand, are there, I mean, just like you have the US FDA thing in the US, do we have something for the Ayurveda as well in India, or is it left to the company like yours?
Your voice was cracking. Could you repeat that?
I mean, my understanding could be a bit puerile on this, but all I was saying was, in the US, you have the US FDA norm, wherein they audit the outsourced facility, right? The regulators come and audit. But out here within the Ayush Ministry, is there something similar, or is it left to the company? I mean, that is your company, Satkarta.
How the Department of Ayush and over that the Ministry of Ayush does is from the formulation. Definitely, the formulation is purely vetted by them. They definitely give the suggestions and vet the formulation. Once they approve the formulation, then there are certain audits and requisite things which they actually get carried out on the manufacturing facilities to check that the process of manufacturing is also under the requisite guidelines.
Are these audits periodically done, or are those only one time?
They are periodically done.
Fine. Thank you. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Thank you very much for this opportunities. So I have a couple of things. I mean, we are talking about 40-50% kind of a growth. So how do we see that? I mean, will it be evenly spread, or I mean, do we see, I mean, quarter on quarter 10-12% kind of a growth on a quarter on quarter basis to achieve like 40-50% kind of a growth on an annual basis? So how would the trend be like that?
Yes, the trend would be, I won't say evenly spread, but quite evenly spread. If we're aiming at a 40-50% growth year on year, could be a few quarters would see a kind of not that kind of a growth, or they could even be flat like this quarter. As I said, this May has a bit been affected by this Indo-Pak crisis, and then some internal things like we had a fire inside. So as per our plan, it is quite evenly spread, but I won't say that it's a kind of a statistically evenly spread.
Okay. Largely, I mean, with some exceptions, I mean, largely we expect a quarter and quarter or 10-12% kind of a growth, right? Would that be
Yes. And not the, you won't see something like, okay, first quarter was flat, second quarter was flat, and everything coming in the last quarter. No,
So
that's
that will not happen. So
That will happen.
I got it. That's very helpful. And in terms of your margins, I mean, we have a very high gross margins, right? Above 90%. So as your revenue scale up, so how do you see your, I mean, PAT margin trajectory? I mean, currently, I think this year was 6%, and we are at 500 crores, we are targeting 12% kind of a PAT margin. But in the interim, how do we see the ramp up in margins? I mean, FY 26.
I think that would also, you would see it quarter on quarter, as you are seeing it now. And we have a lot of, I won't say as a cushion, but as a spare capacity, which would actually translate into our PAT quarter on quarter. One of the major two drivers which would actually give increase to the PAT are the AI models which we are coming up with, both personalization, which would actually increase the retention,
and also the infrastructure facility and the employees which we have, they have a lot more capacity to build up on the turnover.
Okay. So what you're saying, we would see PAT margin improvement on a quarter-on-quarter basis?
Yes, definitely.
So and on an annual basis, what sort of increase we are expecting in FY26 and FY27? I mean, to reach 12% in what, 3 years? So currently we are at 6, right? So there's a gap of 6%. So per annum, what sort of increase we are targeting?
What I would say is, what we have done this year as compared to last year, a 27% growth on the top line and 55% growth on the PAT, that's our first benchmark. We have to break that, cross that, and year on year, definitely we are going to beat our old performance.
Okay. No, so this is not very clear. I mean, we are already targeting a revenue growth of 40-50%, right, this year?
So 40% growth means we are targeting a growth of from 160 to
240, 250, something like that.
230, 240. So on a quarter on quarter, we can say around 7% growth, which on a cumulative way, will, if a 7% quarter on quarter is there, cumulative, that would bypass 40%.
Correct, fair. So that's on the revenue part, on the margin part. I mean, this was 6% in FY25. So what sort of PAT margin we are looking in FY26? Yeah.
26, internally at Satkatar has made our benchmark to at least cross 9% to 10%.
That's very clear. Okay. I got it. Okay. That would be it from my side. All the very best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Devi Agarwal from Ficom Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So, sir, I just wanted to know, how do you see the demand trend for Ayurvedic OTC products evolving in the next 2 to 3 years?
Huge. The kind of queries we get, in fact, people are keen to get more and more products for each and every disease. If they call us for diabetes, they are already ready for their gut. In fact, beauty is one segment which people are actually looking for Ayurveda. I'm not into the beauty segment, but left, right and center, every customer, whoever calls us, is looking for more and more products. So the growth is humongous.
Can you also say 10%, 12%, 20%? In the industry?
I would say, look, it's, you all have a lot of data, and when it's an industry which is in a growing phase, at 10, 12, 20, 25%, it's a kind of a cumulative factor. If there's a 10 to 12% growth, fine. The data says 12% CAGR. But then I would say actually, and the data says 16 billion in 2034. But as per my study and my understanding, it's going to surpass that. The industry is going to surpass that, and the companies like ours are going to be far more than these numbers.
So, next question I wanted to ask is in terms of competition. Segment going up, because one of your listed players is also planning to enter into OTC products. So, do you think that would affect your margins or revenue?
I won't say that as a competition, because we won't beat ourselves as a company which is into the OTC area. We are a call-driven model. We are into a niche, therapeutic focus, and speed plus scale. We are into the deep pockets of India where the OTC products are difficult to reach.
Okay. Got it, sir. And lastly, I just wanted to know, what's the industry margins, like the industry standards of the margins in the OTC Ayurvedic products?
In OTC, the margins would be around from a manufacturing level to going into the OTC level and if you take out what is being distributed among the counters, the margins would be around anywhere from 15% to 20%.
You're talking about EBITDA margins or PAT margins?
EBITDA margins.
Okay, EBITDA margins. So you also plan to take it to 15-20%, right?
Yes, yes. EBITDA margins to 20%. 15 to 20%.
Got it. Got it. That was helpful. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. Next question is from line of Shubham Gupta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Shubham, can you speak a little louder, please?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, yeah. First of all, sir, congratulations for the great results. My question is basically how AI will help you in increasing the margins and all. So can you just give some brief on that?
We are very hopeful and confident about AI coming in and helping us in the sense that today, I'm not saying that we'll not be a human intensive organization, but yes, there are times when that data can be rotated again and again. The customer can come to us and interact with us at odd hours. So those odd hours and data analysis, and in fact, we have a test phase ready wherein AI is talking to a customer in a, if not better way, in the same quality way as a human support person is talking. So that would help in scaling the things fast and also having a kind of a customer interaction at odd hours.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Sir, one more request. Like, if possible, can you give like monthly updates on the revenue or like quarterly results, if possible?
Definitely.
Just a request.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya from Sterling Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Sir, my first question is in respect to, you know, your the key business update that you have shared with regards to curated spiritual offerings. So what kind of business and what are you thinking behind this, you know, entering this kind of business? Just wanted to hear from your side.
On the spiritual front, we always believe that health is not only the body. Apart from body, it's the mental health and the mental well-being, which is very important for a human being. A lot of customers, when they call us, they say if they're calling us for, which is a quite a very, not our ego product, but one of our product is regarding the sleep therapy and the mind calmness. Therein a person also comes up with the idea that I've been meditating a lot and I want something more to that which could actually help me into the my sleep cycle and my disbalance with my, or I won't say disbalance with my thoughts, but with my, say, depression. So getting him a kind of a willpower through spirituality, some products, and that again is a big growing market in India. So we just thought, why not to add that to our system? And when the customer base is same, why not add additional revenue to that?
Correct. And so what kind of products and, you know, we are going to add it in, and should we expect any commercializing in this fiscal year? What kind of revenues or something that we are targeting for this year? Any general targets?
Still, we are working on that. I think by the next call, when the SKUs would be added, I'll keep all of you updated on that. But right now, we have just internally taken a kind of a conscious decision and approvals that we would start venturing into this. But yes, it's still a lot is going into this where I can actually give you a clue as to what SKUs it would be. But I would be the first one to come up front and say that what we are actually doing in this.
may call, we'll wait for it. And sir, secondly, my second question would be on respect to, you know, the kind of products that we deal in. And, you know, I have went through some of your, you know, not just competitors, but, you know, the other products that are, you know, available in the markets of some different companies. But somewhere I feel that, you know, our products are quite priced higher than the other companies. So do we have any strategy like, you know, to lower down the price and, you know, build up on the volume or something? Or what's your plan on this?
For our current range of products, we don't have any strategy to lower the price. But yes, for similar kind of products, for similar diseases, we are planning to have a kind of a smaller, say if this product is for a 30 to 60 days, we are planning to come up with a 15-day cycle product, wherein we would like to capture the market which we are losing out and complement that with our existing revenue.
Good. Got it, sir. Final question would be on the, you know, on next leg of, you know, probably we have 16 odd remedies to, you know, the problems that humans have.
Yes.
So what kind of, you know, more remedies or, you know, next thing that you will be trying to enter in for our kind of growth that we are guiding for? What are the new ventures that you are seeing in?
No more remedies more than this 16, because out of this 16, four are giving us 80% of the revenue. So out of the balances, we will be developing them further to enhance the revenue. And those four, in fact, if I come up with the figure, those four itself have potential to reach 500. So presently, there's no further plan to make this 16 as 32. But yes, sub SKUs under these, definitely. But not into, because every disease which we come up with, that is a big investment, but putting these up would be far more an easier task to reach 500.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much, and sir, thank you for all the best. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Prapal Roy from Aja Partners. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one question. We spoke of some inorganic acquisitions. Do we have any acquisition in pipeline in mind, or are we working on some of these target acquiring companies?
Yes, we have a small acquisition. We recently uploaded that after our board meeting, a company by the name Plantomed. That's a small acquisition. That company has a niche area in diabetes and a fantastic repeat ratio of as high as 60%. So we wanted to take that company and understand the good points of that company, though the company has a very low revenue at this stage, but for a knowledge transfer, we thought it's best to acquire that company and grow.
And thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Shantanu Basu from SMFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity again. Sorry, I missed the call for some minutes, so I may be asking a question which was already asked nonetheless. So my first question is with regard to the fact that your expansion of PAT margin...
Shantanu, sorry to interrupt you. We are losing your audio. Can you please speak through the handset?
Better now?
Yes, go ahead.
So I was saying, I mean, you have plans of increasing the PAT margin from 6% to 12% in the long run. And I suppose the key driver would be expansion of EBITDA margin. So how do you propose to get to that? I mean, would it be price increases, or would it be operating leverage, or would it be a combination of both, if you can explain in detail? And the second is with regard to your competitive sphere. I just want to understand more about your competitive sphere and competitors. If you can name some of your direct competitors, that would be helpful. And any foray into export markets, because Ayurveda is gaining traction not just in India, but in other parts of the world as well. So any thoughts on that? These are my current questions. Thank you.
I'll answer each and one, but the first, I would take up the export thing. Currently, at least in the next 6 months, our vision is nowhere for the export strategy, as we feel that in the kind of the ticket size we are in. We are well placed in India and have a lot of market in India itself. So opening a new venture and a new stream, at least in the next 2 quarters, is not one of our priorities. But yes, I'm not saying no to that. We might think of that at the end of this financial year when we can start planning for that. On the margins, which we are thinking from 6 to 9 or 10 by the end of the coming financial year, and upliftment of the EBITDA margins. If you see our financials, we are very much heavy on our salary and infrastructure front, which translates to around 26 to 28%, and that capacity of ours is good enough to take us to a turnover of 210 crore, because a lot of component in that is fixed, apart from being semi-variable and variable component. So a clear 3% margin is there, which we can pull out from there. On your other question on do we plan to increase our price? No, that also is not the strategy right now, to increase the price of our current products. But yes, we always strive to bring in new products with a higher price range. And that is one of our fields which we keep on testing. And definitely with that, the average ticket size, a club ticket size or average order size does increase, and that we have been doing consistently since last 24 months. Yes, Sham. Have I been clear on any other on this point?
I've been very clear. Thank you for that. And what about the competition? If you could name a few of your competitors, direct competitors.
Can't. I actually can't find any direct competitor, which is because why we always place the Qatar as different, as it's very difficult to find a competitor in this B2C all health human to human pet business, who is across Pan India to the deepest pocket of India, to each region, be it Tamil, Telugu, Kannada, North India, and at this ticket size. So I have not been able to find any competitor in this year.
Just to understand, you have not been able to find competitor because of your extensive reach, or is it because of your exclusive product profile? Because I believe your product profile is not that exclusive. Diabetes and other things are catered to by other competitors as well, right?
It's not because of my exclusive product. It's because of my exclusive human-to-human language-centric interaction.
Thank you. Shantanu, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question, please.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Participants, kindly restrict yourself to two questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Garg, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Hi, Mandriji, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Good.
Mandriji, I just wanted to understand the revenue guidance for next year and the PAT guidance for next year, 2026,
FY26. I said that earlier also, that we are aiming at a growth at 40 to 50% growth.
Understood, sir. And sir, if it is possible, what is the revenue run rate in the current quarter? I mean the Q4, the quarter that has gone by. What is the run rate that we are already in terms of revenue?
Which we closed.
Which is just closed, yeah.
Which we just closed, that was 48 crores.
So roughly we are already at a run rate of around 190 to 200 crores. Is that a correct
answer? Yes. Right.
And sir, is our business seasonal, or is it like, is Q4 generally heavy, or generally should we assume that all 4 quarters are equally in terms of contribution to the overall revenue?
Generally, fourth quarter is a bit heavy, but not that skewed in a way that the first quarter and the fourth quarter will be too different. But yes, there are times when some events happen, like in some territories, a kind of a monsoon or a heavy floods kind of a thing, which actually impacts not the customer acquisition, but the end delivery, and that translates to a kind of a hamper to the sale. But yes, overall, I would say it's not seasonal. Our business is not seasonal.
Understood. And sir, should I assume that we are already at, let's say, around 7% margin in quarter four?
No.
I mean the target margin.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir.
And there is still further room for this to grow?
Yes, definitely.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Great set of results.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference to the management for closing comments.
A nice introduction, and thank you all for being with us today and for continued trust in Satyakar Shopping Limited. Our focus for the coming quarters is clear, as I said in most of the question and answer thing. People personalization is what we are looking at, and AI tools. Expanding product offerings but into the same diseases, enhancing reach across rural and semi-urban India, of course, enhancing compliance, capital discipline, and operational excellence. Our mission remains rooted in Ayurveda, but our approach is powered by analytics, technology, and human connection. We are building not just a business, but a movement towards mindful wellness, and we are doing so in a way that is sustainable, scalable, and strongly grounded in consumer trust. Thank you once again, and we look forward to growing together. Satkata.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.